Our scripture reading tonight comes from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We'll read the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We read the word of God that far tonight, and the text for our sermon is verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, imagine that you're in a large concert hall, waiting to listen to a symphony orchestra, perhaps playing something like Handel's Messiah. Or perhaps imagine that you're in a school gymnasium and you're listening to the school band play. You see all of the different instruments that make up the orchestra or the band. You have the violins and the cellos and the clarinets and the trumpets and all of the other instruments assembled together. And as you're waiting to hear the music that they'll play, you hear the different instruments preparing and warming up and getting ready and making sure their instrument is in tune. And you can single out then the different instruments. Perhaps you single out the violins as they tune their strings and make ready to play their part in the orchestra. And the sound that you hear just from that one instrument is beautiful. But the purpose is not merely to hear just that one instrument. That one instrument belongs to the whole part. And though the sound that it makes in itself is beautiful, when you combine that and you harmonize that with all of the other instruments together playing, perfectly a piece that they've prepared. The sound is, it's overwhelming, it's beautiful. And all of the different parts contribute to the whole and the beauty of the piece that's being played. In a sense, that's what we have here in the verses that we read out of Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. There are together one section that reveal all of the blessings of salvation we have in Christ. And as we go through, we can single out each one of those blessings that is mentioned there. Truth of election. Adoption unto children. The redemption we have through the blood of the cross and the forgiveness that's ours in Christ. The wisdom that God gives to understand the mystery of His will. The sealing work of the Holy Spirit to assure us of our salvation. And when you consider each one of those things on their own, the sound that comes forth is beautiful. But the purpose in the end here is not to single out each one of these blessings, although we're going to do that, God willing. But each one of them plays a part in the whole. Because what we have here in verses 3 through 14 is one united doxology of praise to God. Now, that's harder to see in our translation. The King James Version breaks these verses up with periods into different sentences, but in the original, it's just one long sentence. More than 200 words combined together to make one sound in one statement. And the purpose of the whole is to express praise and adoration and thanksgiving to our God. As we consider each of the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ, the purpose isn't to simply give a dry, dogmatic lecture on these different doctrines, but understanding these truths and knowing that these blessings are ours in Jesus Christ, it lifts us up on high to praise the God who has blessed us so richly. Holy Spirit places a song of praise on our lips here for all of the blessings that we have in Christ so that there's one harmonious sound, one chorus that's sung in praise to God. This is one of the most striking passages in all of the Word of God, a beautiful song that speaks of blessing upon blessing that we receive, but the end goal and purpose is a doxology of praise to God. We consider tonight the opening note of that doxology in verse 3. That passage, too, is striking. Three different times it uses the word bless there. Speaks of the fact that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. And that fits, you recall, with the whole theme of the book of Ephesians, the church is the glorious body of Christ because we belong to Jesus Christ. We're members of His body. The blessings He's earned flow to us, and it's because we enjoy the blessings of salvation in Christ that the church is glorious. The purpose in the end is not us in our own blessedness. In a sense, we return the blessings to God here in praise and thanksgiving to Him. What we've received from God is, in a sense, returned to God. It's those who are blessed beyond all measure in Christ. From the heart and with the voice, we bless our blessed God. Consider this passage tonight under the theme, blessed by a blessed God. Notice first of all the blessings, secondly the foundation, and then thirdly the response. Passage says, that God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What does it mean to be blessed? The word blessed that's used here means literally to speak well of someone or something. And often in the scriptures, that's placed on our lips, as it is here in the first part of the verse when it says that we bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when the blessing is placed on our tongues, the idea is that we speak well of someone or something else. We praise and we give thanks to God here. But when the word of blessing is placed on God's tongue, the idea is much deeper and more powerful than that. The blessing of God is much more than a word of praise or a word of speaking well to us or about us. And that's the case because God's word is much more powerful and effectual than our word. We might speak a word of blessing upon another. We speak well of someone else, but that can be flattery on our part. We don't sincerely mean it. But we speak well of that person outwardly in order to flatter them. It's possible that we speak well of someone else from sincere and genuine motives, but our word doesn't bring about a concrete blessing upon them. If we desire their health or we desire that they experience joy, we can't express that wish or that desire in speaking well of them, but we're unable with our own voice to concretely bless them to bring about their health or their joy. But God's speech is different from our speech. What in our mouth is simply a word of speaking well, of praise and thanks, from God, this is a concrete blessing. The idea here is not simply that God speaks well about us and praises us, but He speaks well upon us. And the word that He speaks brings about a concrete blessing in our life. And that's because God's word is powerful and effectual. Psalm 33, verse 9 says, "For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." When God speaks, it's done. And when He commands, it stands fast. His word is powerful and effectual. So that when He speaks a word of blessing upon us, it comes to pass, it stands fast. It brings about the intended result. When He speaks well upon us, the result is that we receive a concrete blessing from Him. God's blessing upon us is a rich, beautiful, precious blessing. And the adjectives, the words that are used in the text to describe this blessing of God upon us, show the riches and the beauty of God's blessing. First of all, we read that God blesses us with a spiritual blessing. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." That obviously stands in contrast to earthly things. God does bestow upon us many earthly things. He gives us health and strength and food and drink and money and possessions and home and family. All of these things we receive from the hand of our Heavenly Father. And having received these things from Him, it ought to draw out of our hearts and our mouths a word of praise and thanksgiving to Him. It's important to remember, though, that there is a distinction between these earthly things and the blessing of God. Earthly things in and of themselves don't equal the blessing of God. If we fail to make that distinction between earthly things and God's blessing, then we fall into the error of common grace. And the idea would be then that a child of God whose life seems to be going well and things are easy and he's wealthy, he's more blessed by God than the child of God who's poor and who's struggling and experiencing all kinds of sorrows, who isn't blessed as much as the other is. That certainly isn't the case. There's a distinction between those earthly things and God's blessing. It's important to remember as well that those earthly things can't compare to the spiritual blessings that we receive. We need those earthly things. They're important, but they don't compare in importance to the spiritual things that we receive. We can have all of the riches of this world. We can be wealthy and successful. And if we're missing these spiritual blessings, then those things don't profit us one bit. It can be the case that we're lacking of all earthly things. We're absolutely destitute. And yet because we have the spiritual blessings, we are truly blessed. More important than those earthly things is to receive the spiritual blessings from God. And we are richly blessed by Him with those spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings fundamentally are the blessing of the Holy Spirit. The central, fundamental blessing is that Jesus Christ pours out upon His church and gives to us in our own hearts His Holy Spirit. And by His Holy Spirit, then we have Christ. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ. And the Holy Spirit in us showers upon us then all of the other spiritual blessings. And the rest of the doxology of praise to God here in Ephesians 1 mentions some of those spiritual blessings. Because we have the Holy Spirit within our hearts, we're assured of our election. We have the adoption unto children. We have redemption and forgiveness in the blood of the cross. We have wisdom and the understanding of God's will. We have that Holy Spirit in us who seals us, meaning He assures us of our salvation. And the list goes on and on. There's more things that we can mention from the Word of God. Our regeneration, faith, conversion, repentance, and a sorrow for sin, and a desire to live out of gratitude in obedience to God, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, cleansing us and making us holy. Love for God and a love for the neighbor, peace, contentment in the circumstances of life that we experience. Grace of God to sustain us in our walk of obedience to Him and the fight against sin, the grace to carry out the duties and responsibilities of our calling in life, grace to live as faithful members of the church, grace in the trials and the sorrows that we experience. And you recognize that the list could continue to go on and on. We're blessed beyond measure. We can hardly count all of the spiritual blessings that we have received. Each one of us can examine our own life, begin to count all of the many different ways in which God has blessed us personally. Those spiritual blessings, they don't change the circumstances of our life, you understand. But having those spiritual blessings, it changes us in those circumstances of life. A child of God might be experiencing extreme poverty. The fact that he's blessed by God doesn't mean that he's lifted out of that and he's wealthy and successful, but it means that he learns contentment in those hard circumstances. Child of God might be experiencing very painful struggles, trials. Blessing of God doesn't mean that he's lifted up out of those trials always and that his life is free of those things, but it means he receives the grace to bear up under those circumstances, to respond in the right way that glorifies God. Child of God might be experiencing constant pain, sickness, and surgeries. Blessing of God upon him doesn't mean that all of that's gone now, but it means that he receives patience, strength to endure. He receives hope, sustained in the trial that God sends. God's grace doesn't change the circumstances of our life always. It gives us the grace that changes us so that we're able to respond in the right way, bear up under those circumstances in a way that glorifies God. How rich the blessings that God bestows upon us. He bestows upon us spiritual blessings. In the second place, the riches of God's blessings are indicated here by the fact that it says we have all spiritual blessings. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And literally there the Holy Spirit says he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the singular. Now, there's not a huge difference between the singular and the plural there, but what the singular especially emphasizes that every single spiritual blessing is ours. We don't lack a single one. There's no deficiency in the blessings that we receive from God. We receive from him the blessings that we need in all of the various circumstances of life. When we're struggling with a besetting sin, we need the grace to fight against that. We have that. When we're experiencing a trial and we need the grace to bear up under that, we have that. We have all spiritual blessings. We're not lacking in any spiritual blessing. Richly does God shower his blessings upon us, one after the other, so that all of these things are ours. Third place, the riches of God's blessing upon us are indicated by the fact that these are blessings in heavenly places. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. There's some who translate that to say that he's blessed us with heavenly things, merely to reiterate that these are spiritual, heavenly blessings. But the King James Version has it right here. There are other times in the book of Ephesians where that same phrase is used, and throughout it means in heaven. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven, in heavenly places. And that shows that these blessings that we receive are not earthly. They're not corruptible and perishable like earthly things are. These things are incorruptible and they cannot perish or fade away. It means that these blessings have their origin in heaven. They're not earthly things that have their origin in us, but the origin of these blessings is in God in heaven. And these are blessings that prepare us for our place in heaven. Certainly, they're blessings that benefit us now. We need them now. God blesses us in such a way that as we receive the benefit now, it prepares us for our place in heaven. That phrase also indicates that, in a sense, we are in heaven now already. He's blessed us as we are, in a sense, now already, dwelling in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Similar phrase is used in Ephesians 2, verse 6. When it says, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, now already we sit in heavenly places in Christ. We have a life in heaven, and we seek that life which is above. We have a mind that understands heavenly things, eyes that see beyond the earthly, that see the things of the kingdom of heaven. So that, in a sense, part of our life is now already in heaven. And God blesses us in those heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Rich are the blessings that God showers down upon us, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And in the fourth place, the riches of these blessings are evident from the fact that they are now already our possession. Notice the language here. The passage does not say that God will bless us with these spiritual blessings at some point to come in the future. We don't have them now, but He will bless us someday when we die or when Christ comes again. But it says God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has blessed us already, so that these blessings are our present possession. In principle, in essence, now already, we possess all of these heavenly spiritual blessings. Possessing them, we're confident of our being blessed by God. We're assured of His blessing, just as the inspired apostle writes to a congregation in Ephesus and says, we are blessed by God with all spiritual blessings. So too does the Holy Spirit say to us as a congregation, God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The object of God's blessing. God speaks well of us, and He speaks well upon us, so that concretely we possess a wealth of spiritual blessings from Him. The fact that we possess these spiritual blessings now already rests upon a firm and unshakable foundation. And we need that. If our possession of these blessings didn't have a foundation, or it rested upon some shaky foundation, then we'd live in doubt. We'd wonder whether we have these blessings now, and we'd doubt whether tomorrow and in the future we'd continue to be the objects of God's blessing. We need a firm foundation, and we have that. And the foundation on which our possessing these blessings rests is that we are in Jesus Christ. We might miss that when we read the passage. It's easy to overlook that. With just a few brief words, the Spirit expresses that. Notice that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. There's the foundation. There's the basis on which our being blessed by God rests. And that is the emphasis of the whole of this doxology of praise through verse 13. You read that over and over again. It speaks of having these blessings in Christ and through Jesus Christ. And that again is the whole theme of the book of Ephesians. The church is a glorious body, not in herself, but because she's in Jesus Christ, connected to Him as her head. And only in Jesus Christ, then, that we are blessed. We're blessed in Jesus Christ because Christ is the one who has earned all of these blessings. It's plain from the names that are given to him here. He's Jesus. He's Jehovah Salvation, who has earned for us salvation and life, the blessings of salvation. He is Christ. He's the anointed one, anointed by God to be the Messiah and the Savior, perfectly qualified to carry out that work as prophet, priest, and king. Because of that, he's the Lord. He's received power over all things in heaven and on earth, and he exercises that power on our behalf. He's bought us. We're his precious possession. And he works all things for the good of us, his people. It's because he is Jesus Christ, our Lord, that he has merited all of these blessings. And that's what he did during his life here on this earth. It's what he accomplished through his death on the cross, making perfect satisfaction and atonement for our sins, paying the price that we could not pay, to free us from sin, to merit for us life everlasting with all of the blessings of heaven. Something that we have through his resurrection, as he rose again, as powerful proof that he'd accomplished all our salvation on the cross. That's what he accomplished through his ascension as he came into heavenly places to sit down at God's right hand, and as a reward receiving rule over all things to work all things for the good of his church. Christ has merited all of these blessings, and we receive them because we are in Jesus Christ. We're in Jesus Christ eternally through God's sovereign decree of election. That's what verses 4 and 5 and 6, the very next verses, are going to explain. God has chosen Jesus Christ as the elect, and he's chosen us in Jesus Christ, so that eternally we are in him and God views us in Christ. We're in Jesus Christ legally, so that when he went to the cross and died, we died with him. When he rose again from the dead, we rose with him. When he ascended up on high and sits in heavenly places, we sit in heavenly places with him. And we are in Christ in reality. It's taken place in our own life through our regeneration as Christ has poured out his Holy Spirit into our hearts and established the bond of faith that unites us to himself, through which then he bestows upon us all of these blessings. We're in Jesus Christ really and fully. And Christ is in us. And because we're in Jesus Christ, we're blessed with him. Just as you can't separate the body from the head, so you can't separate the church from Christ. Because Christ, the head, has earned these blessings. And God has blessed Christ, spoken well of Jesus Christ for his perfect obedience in saving us. So we receive his blessings and are blessed in him. The fact that we're in Jesus Christ and blessed then in him has a number of important implications. In the first place, this means that these blessings are particular. God does not bless all men everywhere, contrary to the teaching of common grace. God does not make some well-intended offer to all men that he wants to bless them if only they'll respond and They'll accept the blessing that he offers to them. God's blessing does not rest upon the reprobate. He does not speak well of them. They're the objects of his wrath. And the word that he speaks is a word of judgment and condemnation upon them. This blessing is only for those who are in Jesus Christ, which is to say, it's only for the elect. Only the elect, chosen in Christ, given to him, and in him now by faith. Those who are blessed with these spiritual blessings. In the second place, one of the implications is that these blessings are entirely a gift of God's grace. In ourselves, fallen into sin, we don't deserve the blessing of God. By nature, we're children of wrath, deserving to be the objects of wrath. So that God doesn't speak well of us and pronounce a blessing upon us, we deserve him to speak a word of condemnation and judgment upon us. It's only of God's grace that we receive these rich blessings. We haven't done something to merit them with him. We've not set ourselves apart in any way. It's not that we're more deserving than all of the others who are not blessed by God are no more deserving than they are. It's only of God's grace that he's chosen us in Christ, and that freely in his grace he showers upon us blessing upon blessing, so that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Third place, one of the implications is that these blessings then are sure and everlasting. It's not that at one moment we're blessed, and the next moment we're not. That one day we're the object of God's blessings, and the next day God withdraws all of those blessings from us. Now, if those blessings depended upon us, on our doing something to earn them, to make ourselves deserving, and it would be the case that those blessings could come and go. And the fact that these blessings are sure and everlasting wouldn't be true, and we wouldn't be assured of that. We'd lose all of those blessings. The fact that these blessings are blessings we receive in Jesus Christ means that they're sure and they're certain. God is not going to withdraw his blessing from Jesus Christ, and because he doesn't withdraw the blessing of the head, he doesn't withdraw the blessing that the body receives. Our union with Christ is sure and everlasting. We can never be severed from the head. Therefore, the blessings we receive in him are sure and constant and everlasting. Once an object of God's blessing, always and forever the object of God's blessing. It's the preservation of the saints. It's those whom he has united to Jesus Christ. God won't let us fall away. We won't slip out of the fingers of God and go lost. We're secure in Christ. And these spiritual blessings are secure as well. Fourth place, the fact that these blessings are blessings received in Christ means that we enjoy these blessings as members of the church. The church of Jesus Christ, as she manifests herself on this earth, is the manifestation of the body of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's in her, as members of the church of Jesus Christ, that we enjoy the blessings of Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God for our place in this congregation. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ, we enjoy in Christ all spiritual blessings. Well, then do we respond? Knowing how richly blessed we are, experiencing those wealth of blessings, how do we respond? The response is a response of praise and thanksgiving to God. Being blessed by God, we bless God. It's the first part of our text. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It does not mean, the fact that we bless God, that we add something to God. We give Him something that He's missing, and we fulfill some lack in God. It's impossible. God in Himself is the perfectly blessed God, eternally blessed in Himself. God is a blessed God in Himself because He is triune. And that's what the idea is when it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not referring there merely to the first person of the Trinity. But most often in the Scriptures, when it speaks of the Father, it's referring to the triune God as our Father. And in Himself, in the triune life that He lives, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God is eternally blessed. Blessed in the perfect fellowship He enjoys, in the love and the unity. There's no lack in God. The relationship of the triune God to the mediator, Jesus Christ, means that He's blessed as well. If Christ is to be blessed and praised for all that Christ our Savior has done for us while on this earth, and certainly triune God our Father is to be praised. He's the one that sent His Son. It's His will that was accomplished. He's the one who was willing to have the blood of His Son shed on the cross. He was willing to pour out His wrath upon His Son to save us. God in Himself is perfectly blessed by our blessing of Him. We don't add anything to Him or fulfill some lack in God. But as we said at the beginning, to bless means to speak well of. We speak well of God for what He's done for us. We bless Him by praising Him and thanking Him for what He's done and bestowing upon us all of these blessings that are ours. And as we experience those blessings, as we taste of God's goodness in our own life and in our own circumstances, hearts overflow with thanksgiving for what He's done and praise to the blessed God who's blessed us. And you see, that's God's purpose in blessing us. His purpose in blessing us is that we return that blessing, as it were, to God in blessing and praising Him. And that's what is emphasized over and over throughout this doxology of praise here. In verse 6, He's chosen us to the praise of the glory of His grace. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And in verse 14, at the end, we're sealed with the Spirit unto the praise of His glory. It's the purpose of God in our salvation. That's why He created us in the beginning, and that's why He's recreated us in Christ. Purpose in the end isn't me, in my salvation, in my being blessed. God's purpose is that in saving me and blessing me, that I might bring praise to His name and that He might be glorified. When we remember that, that's astounding, that God has connected the highest purpose that He has in all things, the praise of His own name. He's connected that to me, creature of dust, sinner, and my salvation and blessing. So that His purpose in blessing me, bestowing upon me life and salvation and all of the blessings in Christ, is pleased to use to bring honor and praise to His most blessed name. It's God's purpose with us. It's God's purpose in blessing us so richly with these spiritual blessings in Christ. Beloved, you are blessed. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. It's a blessing that we enjoy in our own personal life. And our response then in experiencing those blessings is praise and thanks to God. It's a blessing that we receive and enjoy together in the congregation. God blesses us tonight through His Word and by His Spirit. And our response is with united heart and united voice to bless the name of God and praise and thank Him. That will be our response everlastingly in glory. We're united with the Ephesians, Church of Jesus Christ, Catholic, out of all ages of the world and all nations under heaven, so that you have the whole of the heavenly chorus and choir together. Together with one heart and one voice, as those blessed by God, we will praise Him. Blessed be God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, accomplish Thy purposes in and through us. As Thou hast instructed us and assured us the rich blessing that Thou hast bestowed upon us, stir in our hearts gratitude. Cause that gratitude to show itself in heart and voice and with our lives in praise to Thy name. Praise Thee now. Honor, power, and glory both on earth and in heaven be to Thee, to Jesus Christ, Thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.